Needed. The next matter before us is Susan French versus Virginia Marine Resources Commission. Mr. Cornelius, is that right?
Yes, sir.
Glad to hear from you. And who will be arguing on behalf of the commission? Glad to have you. Mr. Cornelius, would you like to reserve some time for rebuttal?
Yes, sir. 5 minutes.
All right. Delighted to hear from you.
May it please the court, my name is Richard Cornelius, and I'm an attorney for the appellant, Susan French. What we seek this morning is a remand of this matter to the Virginia Marine Resources Commission for a hearing that comports with fundamental fairness under the due process clauses of both the United States Constitution and
the Commonwealth's constitutions.
Yes?
You probably get a lot of questions because it's not the easiest case to understand y'all's position, but your fundamental argument in assignment of error one is procedural due process, right?
Yes, sir.
The Matthews versus Etheridge,
yes, sir.
14th Amendment case.
Yes, sir.
Well, for there to be procedural due process, you have to have a deprivation of a property interest.
Yes, sir.
Otherwise, we don't even go through the pre or post deprivation remedial analysis.
Right.
What's the property interest here? And it appears that the argument is the property interest here is the proprietary property rights of a riparian owner. Is that right so far?
Yes, sir.
Well, then the conclusion, nothing the VRC can do legally can affect your client's property rights. If a court of equity is empowered to issue an injunction or declaratory relief or anything, or for that matter, a common law court to issue a nuisance damages remedy, your property rights, as I understand the state of law, are by statute and by case law unaffected by the permit that was given to this permit holder. So I mean, it seems to me the horse doesn't even leave the starting gates unless I'm misunderstanding this case.
Well, we would argue, Your Honor, that but for the permit, there would be no deprivation of property rights to Ms. French's riparian rights. She is in a very, very...
But I think we're talking past each other. But for the permit, there wouldn't be a deprivation. There is no deprivation with the permit. In other words, if you stand up today and say, Your Honor, the VMRC has absolutely no authority to affect the property interests of my clients, we would probably say, right. So...
But what I'm arguing, Your Honor, is that by granting the permit, which allowed for an after-the-fact bridge, that after-the-fact bridge has caused my client's property damages.
What do you say are your riparian rights?
My riparian rights are our riparian rights, the client's riparian rights. And keep in mind, please, that she
No, define riparian right for me.
Riparian rights are those rights associated with someone who owns property, real property, upon which water flows by.
I know that. What does it allow you to do?
Well, it allows you, and I will refer to the Groner case, for example, which is a case that's been submitted by the Commonwealth. The Groner case talks about your rights to go straight out from your property and build a wharf or build a bridge or etc. However, there is considerable other law that talks about...
Well, that doesn't really apply to the stream where you are.
But it does, Your Honor. This stream is a fairly significant river. It is a trout stream of the state of Virginia, or the Commonwealth of Virginia. It's not an insignificant
And as I understand riparian rights,
yes.
You're entitled to the benefits of the water flowing by
yes,
your
sir.
Property
yes,
and reasonable use of it. Now,
yes,
how was that interfered with?
Well, as we've stated, I believe, and briefed, and the facts of the case are that the appellant in this case has used that river previously for floating and bathing and swimming and fishing from one part of her property, which is upstream, riparian property upstream of this bridge, to her riparian property, which is downstream of this bridge. This bridge is
how
an obstruction that goes
how
across.
How does that fit into what your riparian rights are? It may deal with what you can use to do in the river, but actually you're saying it's the riparian rights that have been deprived.
Yes, sir.
How does the fact that you have tubed from one piece of property down to the other affect a riparian right? It's a technical right.
A riparian right, Your Honor, is an opportunity to use the water as it flows by and past your property. And in this case, the only way she can now do that is if she gets out, goes around the bridge, and trespasses on somebody else's property.
That the bridge is not adjacent to her property.
It's correct. It's between her two properties.
That's
so
what,
you have her property upstream, her property downstream.
Judge Bumbarger's question is meant to point out to you that let's say you're just on a river, and I have a farm downstream, I have a farm upstream.
Yes.
Someone does something that screws up in between us.
Yes.
That's not a riparian right issue. That may be a nuisance issue. That may be a lot of things. It's not riparian rights under admiralty law or property law.
I think it is a riparian right issue, Your Honor, because the riparian rights law says that no one has the ability to interfere with the flow of that stream as it goes down to the next person. You may not pollute the water.
But the fact you've got to get out of your tube,
dirty.
The fact that you have to get out of your tube and go around the concrete bridge doesn't impede the flow upstream, because you can tube by your property upstream and you can tube by your farm downstream.
That's true.
So, I mean, there's a disconnect in that argument. But can I circle back to the point that I just can't get? And it sounds so harsh, but so what? Right now, as I understand the law, and you need to correct me if I'm misunderstanding, you could technically go into a chancery court right now, a circuit court, exercising equitable jurisdiction, and if you had a riparian right that you're saying you have, and there was a remedy for it, an injunctive remedy or declaratory relief remedy, you would get it. And if the permit holder said, well, I have a VMRC permit, the answer would be, well, so what? That has nothing to do with what we're talking about. If I were the trial judge hearing the riparian right case, I'd say, well, I don't know if they should have granted that permit or not, but that's not my call. My only call is whether you have a riparian right and it's been affected. What's wrong with my logic there? Am I missing something in your argument?
In this case, Your Honor, the situation is simply that this bridge was built, and after the fact, almost a year after the fact, the Virginia Marine Resources Commission was asked to permit this bridge in an after-the-fact manner. Ms. French is an adjacent property owner, happens to be a riparian owner. She was given notice of this hearing, and she went to the hearing and made her protest.
Sorry to interrupt, but we have such little time to talk about these cases.
And this is a complicated case.
And we want to hear from you. So in response to my question, suppose whatever happens in this case, and later you go to a chancellor, a circuit court exercising equitable powers, and you say, I have a riparian right under property law. It's not compensated by common law tort remedies or nuisance remedies. It's irreparable harm. And I want an injunction ordering them to dig that darn bridge up and move it out of the way. And the other side says, but I have a VMRC permit. Wouldn't you say, if you're in that case, so? And wouldn't you be right?
Possibly.
Well, help me out, because I have to understand it better than that.
I don't think we're required to go to the circuit court and file an action when we've been involved in an action where due process has been denied, and due process has been denied to someone who has a property interest that we allege, and which the circuit court found. I mean, yes, and the circuit court found and held that it hadn't been impinged, Your Honor. So the circuit court didn't have problem finding that Ms. French had a property interest that had been impinged, and that she was a riparian owner, and that she had standing, etc.
But standing, I we get that. But standing is very different from what we're talking about.
Yes, sir.
I mean, you may have Article 3 standing in the statutes of Virginia, particularly in the environmental side, basically use the, you know, Lujan Article 3 standard. But that's different from saying you have a property interest for procedural due process purposes. Am I right so far?
Yes.
Okay, well, I've got to be right on that, because otherwise, every time you have standing, you would always have a procedural process claim, which is obviously not the law. So going back to the question, I'm not suggesting you have to exhaust administrative remedies to file a 1983 action
for the
Supreme Court's ruling on that. But if the VMRC permit doesn't have any legal effect whatsoever on the property rights, be they riparian or any other characteristic, of Ms. French, then why am I wrong in thinking this case, the case is over? Because there's nothing here that's affected her legally. She may have standing, and she has got all the way to the Court of Appeals, so no one's worried about standing. No one's throwing her out without hearing her.
I think if you look at the last transcript of the circuit court that was done in January 2013, I think it was, that the court there was basically suggesting that this case was ripe and should be decided by either the Virginia Supreme Court or the Court of Appeals because of the fact that he believed that Ms. French had the requisite standing, had the requisite property that had been deprived. It had been deprived as a result of state action, which was the issuing of the permit.
Well, the question is not whether the state action for 1983 purposes. The question is whether there's a property interest under state law, not federal law, for purposes of procedural due process.
Well, our argument, Your Honor, is that her property interests were directly impacted by the fact that that permit was issued, which allowed that bridge to remain after it had been built.
And the property interest you're talking about is the riparian rights ownership.
Yes.
Is there any other property interest other than that?
But she has other interest in her property,
but
and one of the reasons
relevant to this case.
Yes, exactly. For example, in this case, this bridge acts as an obstruction. This obstruction may very well cause flooding or erosion to her upstream property, which would be damage, physical damage to that property.
And you would have a remedy for that, wouldn't you?
Trespass.
Correct. So let me ask Judge Kelsey's question inverted. Would your client be precluded by either res judicata or principles of collateral estoppel if she were to file that trespass action and the other side raised the VMRC permit that they had received?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
I think you're into your rebuttal. You may proceed if you like.
All
right. Scoot.
Good afternoon. May it please the court, Matt Gooch here for VMRC. I don't have too much to say this afternoon. I think
do you agree, though, that the permit that your office and the commission is not purporting to adjudicate or decide or impact property rights of anyone other than the permittee?
Exactly, and that's well embedded in Virginia law.
So, if in perfect legal theory they filed an injunction suit against the permittee, saying, tear up the bridge, you know, we used to tube down here and you shouldn't have done this, there would be no, the AG's position would be, well, they can, the defense can cite the VMRC permit, but if the court asked for us for our view, that permit had nothing to do with that question. We were addressing purely administrative issues. Am I understanding the position of the commission?
That's correct. Exactly right. That's the commission's position. And I think it's pretty much a restatement of what happened in the Zapula case. What Your Honor just said is the conclusion at the very end of that case. The court says, for the same reason, any construction work done by the defendant in reliance upon the permit does not confer any vested rights. As the VMRC points out, its issuance of the permit determines only the rights of the applicant vis-a-vis the conflict.
So your view is pretty simple, that your opponent colleague may have a remedy, but that remedy is not available through the administrative proceeding that the VMRC is following at this time.
Right. Any aggrieved person can challenge the permitting decision of VMRC, but in terms of due process, we talk about actually having a right to a formal hearing, cross-examination, the Matthews test, you actually have to have a property interest. And there's kind of a divide in this case about what the essence of a permit is. French's view is that this permit, along with many others, got a DEQ permit, potentially an Army Corps of Engineer permit. If a permit is issued that is unfavorable, then that is a property rights determination. And the cases say pretty categorically and unequivocally that that's not the case. A state permit is a permission to use state lands between the permittee and the state. It's something more than the state saying, it's fine with us if you do that.
Let me ask you one thing, and Mr. Canadius can address this too, because I didn't ask you to. Basically, you kind of paved the road What this thing is labeled as a right-of-way, what kind of right-of-way is it? Is it a private deeded type right-of-way? It seems the property's been divided up and cut up. Or is it a public right-of-way or what? I mean, it's an established track that you can see from the photographs that were submitted by the appellant. But what is the actual status of that little roadway that was in effect allowed to put a low water bridge, or basically kind of pave what had been a ford?
Right, that is the Davises, who are an adjacent landowner, deeded a right-of-way or an easement for the bridge to be there. So it's a private deeded right-of-way across the Davises.
What
property.
Is its purpose?
But that whole right-of-way comes for some distance and seems to affect other parts, some of which are Ms. French's and others that are in the general area, and then comes down and crosses over and now seems to dead end into the property that asked for it to be in effect improved. What's the nature of that right-of-way?
Of the right-of-way that is shared between there's an existing right-of-way that Mrs. French shared and continues to share that crosses the creek, and then there's the new right-of-way where the bridge was constructed. So there's two different rights-of-way.
But it's an extension of a road that eventually goes out to the highway.
Right, you can take that right-of-way back to the road.
But as it comes down along those last couple courses and along the edge of the property line, is it one where just the owner across the river gets to use it, or is it generally open to the public, or what? Is that established anywhere?
I don't know the answer to that.
Okay.
I think the answer is...
Okay, that's what I was wondering, because I hadn't picked it up, and it looks like it's used more than by the dead end property owner and older than that. But I can't tell. Maybe McCandelius can answer that when he comes back. Okay, thank you.
Unless the court has any further questions, rest on brief for the remainder of our argument.
All right, thank you, counsel. Mr. Cornelius, I think you have 3 or so minutes.
In reference to the right-of-way, Your Honor, the new right-of-way, which is the right-of-way
for the bridge. Pick it up
for
there
the
where it goes between the farmhouse
and
the barn.
There's a road that comes all the way from the main highway back through the countryside and goes to and stops at the bridge, which is a new right-of-way. And I mean new since that bridge was built. The property owner that used that right-of-way previously does have a right-of-way about 30 yards downstream, which he shared with Ms. French. And that was through the river. Literally, you would have to drive through the river to get to the other side. And as a matter of fact, that right-of-way, Ms. French's right-of-way, is another, we would argue, is another direct impact of...
The question I want to answer is,
yes,
you come down the stream, once you leave that red hose,
yes,
and however long that course is,
yes, sir,
who gets to use that road to go down to the
stream? Only the people that now have a house across that bridge. That's a private right-of-way.
For that entire distance?
As a matter of fact, Ms. French tried to use that right-of-way and was told under no circumstances was she allowed on that right-of-way.
Which undermines his thought that it was for a public purpose.
Yes, exactly. And as a matter of fact, if you look at the transcript at the Marine Resources Commission, the only time that the private versus public is mentioned is when there is a motion to deny the permit by one of the commissioners, which is seconded by another, and the basis for that motion was the lack of public interest in this permit.
Maybe this is another way of asking this question. When Mr. Four made the request for the permitting from the VMRC, what was the state purpose for this permitting?
It was to legally get a permit that would permit the after-the-fact construction of the bridge slash obstruction that has had been already built.
I get that, and I get your concern that they built the bridge and they actually injured your client, and then after they injured your client, then they asked for permitting and they got the permitting. I get that in the sort of suggestion that is made there, but my question is a little bit more precise.
I think I can answer your question, Your Honor, except I'm not sure it's in the record.
Okay, that's fine.
So
that's fine.
I don't think it's in the record.
I don't think I should go there.
Yeah, we're not asking you. All right, counsel, anything further?
No, Your Honor, I don't believe so. Thank you.
I appreciate your argument. We'll greet the two of you and take up the Blakely versus UVA Health Systems.